Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life. We thank you, Lord, for life, Lord, that is in Christ Jesus. And Father, this night, Lord, I thank you so much, Father, for just the body of Christ and the chance that we have to come together in your name, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, this night, Father, we come before you, Father, as your people. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the breath of life that's in us, Father, that you've given to us, Father, and for this window of time that all of us are in the earth, Father. And we just pray, Lord, this night, Lord God, as we would just come before you, Lord, that your word would come forward, Father. I get out of the way, and Lord, I just invite, Lord, the free flow of your spirit. Father, I just pray, Lord, for every single heart where they are, Lord, that you would minister to them where they are this evening, Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the breath of life, Father, and true life that we have in you, that you've given to us, Lord God, through Jesus and through all that you did for us on the cross. So Lord, this day, Father, as we go forward in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God. Amen. Amen. Okay. So you can hear me, yes, if I just, I have sort of an inbuilt mic, kind of. I know sometimes all the technology, we can leave it to the side a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, recently I've been thinking about this scripture. I've been letting it roll around in my mind some, and God has been speaking to me out of this. Reflecting back and looking through... Oh, chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's good. Interact with me, please. If you can't, if I didn't say something or you have a question, that's okay. This is a little bit more, I like it more informal, if at all possible. We have to break some of these patterns that we get stuck in. Okay, Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus. So next to Jesus, there was nobody wiser that ever lived in the earth than Solomon. Also, Solomon was the wealthiest man that ever lived. I know we have Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Harry Jayawardene in this country. Everybody has their rich people of the earth. But Solomon, who he was, who his natural wealth, even in this earth, there was nobody that had more. So God took a man and blessed him in the world with the things that the world many times chases after. Now, Solomon wrote Proverbs. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you've never read it, Ecclesiastes is a fantastic book to go through to see somebody that took everything in the world and tried it out to the maximum and then came to a conclusion on the matter. So Solomon, with all of the wealth that he had, nothing was restrained from him. If he wanted anything, he could buy it, he could have it, he could do it. So he took the wisdom that he had and he went and tried all of the things that the world had to offer, and after each and every one of them he came to a conclusion on that matter. So he tried wine, the women, the song, the everything. And when he was done with it, when he was done with each and everything, he came to a conclusion on the matter. So if you go through the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a great book to read at a single setting. So sometimes we read like one chapter, go away, sleep, get up the next day, read another chapter, come back, forget what the last one was. Read the whole book, one sitting, because you come then to, he's setting you up all the way through for a conclusion. And the conclusion for the whole matter, Solomon, with the wealth and the wisdom that God had given him, gives a conclusion to the matter for all of humanity, whoever has ears to hear and a heart to understand. So you know, sometimes I like things simple. That's the kind of person that God has made me. If things can be simplified, I like to know what the underlying, the bottom line is. Solomon, when he goes through this, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So out of all of these things, out of all these life pursuits, out of everything that you can do under the sun, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Okay. How often do people wish or want for something in this world? Now, it's not a bad thing to have desire. It's not a bad thing to have dreams. God has created many of you, all of you in fact, with dreams, desires, goals, things that He's put in your heart. Those were there. Those were put in you when He made you, when He fashioned you. Part of that is the process of letting the Spirit of God work with you to bring those forward as an individual. But how often have you heard people say, if only I would, as if there's some limitation to that which God has put in their heart? An important principle that has been brought out here in some of these meetings in the past has been, when God works with people, He works with you with what you already have. For example, when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, He asked, what do you have? We have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. Okay, let's work with that. When Moses, burning bush, what do you have? I got a stick. Throw it down. Okay, he picks it back up. It becomes the staff of God. And he uses that to liberate all the children of Israel. The Shunammite woman. Elijah sent to the Shunammite woman. He asks her, what do you have? She says, I got a little bit of oil. I got a little bit of flour. I got this. And we're just going to make this one thing. And we're going to go and die. I don't think anybody in this room is in that bad of a condition right now. But in that situation, what happens there is whatever you have, you put it before the Lord, and God does something with that. God makes something with that. God uses what you have. He always starts in a place of what you have. The world always says what you don't have. God always starts with what you have to work with. The world always goes with you're lacking, and therefore... You see the difference? Okay. So, but with all these processes that people think and they go through, the conclusion of the matter in your life, Solomon is trying to bring people back to what's really important. With all the pursuits that people can do and go into and be involved with in this world, Solomon is trying to keep people on the track of what really has meaning. Because with everything else, Solomon, when he went through it, he said it's vanity. It's all a waste. There's nothing there. You can pursue it, you can do it, you can be involved with it, you can put all your life and your energy and your efforts into it, but there's nothing there at the end unless it comes down to fearing the Lord and keeping His commandments, unless it comes down to your connection and your relationship with Him. Outside of that, there is no meaning, there's no purpose, there's no value in it. Okay. Quick quiz, since we're doing interactive today. Which was the first of the 4 Gospels written? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Matthew? No, Matt, close. Matthew is the first one in the order, but actually, Mark was the first gospel that was written. Mark was written, and it's the shortest of the 4 Gospels, and after Mark was written, you see Luke and you see Matthew coming up later as like expansions of the same, of what was covered in Mark. Okay, what was the first writing, the first recorded words of Jesus? I already gave you the book. Quick, who's fast? Anyone? Okay. Mark? Yeah. Okay. Temple closed. Mark chapter 1. Now I'm going from the very first book that was written. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Because in Matthew 12, verse 42, it says that Jesus was greater than Solomon. The wisdom that he had was greater than Solomon. So let's hear what the wisest man that ever lived had to say, the very first words that were written down in the very first gospel of his words. Jesus said in verse 15, and saying, well, actually, let's start at verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Okay, so Jesus is first, when the Spirit of the Lord moved Mark to write the very first gospel, and the very first words of Jesus that were brought back to Mark to write and to pen for the early church, the very first words that were written by him was, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, for me, I say, okay, this was the starting point for a revolution that took place in the earth. A revolution that took place for our existence and the existence of all humanity. The kingdom of God is at hand. All right. In order for you to have a kingdom, what do you have? If you have a kingdom, if you live in a kingdom, what do you have? You have a king. If you live in a kingdom, you have a king. Outside of the kingdom of God, what else was there before that? What else was in existence before the kingdom of God? Okay, yeah. Luke chapter 4. We're going to flip some tonight. Luke chapter 4. Verse 5 says, and the devil taking him, speaking of Jesus, up unto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So, before Jesus came and preached and brought forward the kingdom of God, what you have in operation in the world and the world system is the kingdom of this world, with the prince of the power of the air, Lucifer himself, being the one that's governing those kingdoms, giving them to whomever he wants to. Right? Okay. So, ultimately, here, I'm going to use this board over here. Okay. So, ultimately, you have, all right, kingdoms. Okay, now we have in Sri Lanka, you have the SAARC conference coming up, yes? Okay, who's coming? Who's coming to this meeting here? You have Pakistan, you have India, you have Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, who else? Maldives is coming, Nepal is coming, So you have all of these worldly kingdoms. But in actuality, the truth of the matter is, there is no kingdoms of this world in the realm of spirit. In the realm of spirit, you have two. You have the kingdom of God, and you have that which is of Satan. That's it. There really is only those two kingdoms. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, Saul speaking about his Damascus Road experience in verse 14 says, "Saul, Saul," this is Jesus speaking to him, "why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Okay, so darkness and light. If you start looking through the scriptures, you'll start to see this dichotomy everywhere. From darkness to light, from the power of Satan, okay, of Satan, up to the power of God. Or God. Okay. I started to look through scriptures about just some other characteristics of these two kingdoms. Darkness, light. Okay, another one. The kingdom of God in the earth is the minority. The kingdom of this world, as far as population goes, will be the majority. Because Jesus talked about the wide road, the broad road versus the narrow gate. Many will travel the broad road. There will be less. So you will be, if you're in the kingdom of God, you will be in the minority. Welcome to the minority for your existence in the earth. So there will be, let's see, on this side, in the kingdom of God, it's the will of God. Versus, on this side, the will of self. Now, I say the will of self before, because on the low levels within the kingdom of this world, it's do what thou wilt. As you get higher up within the structure of the world, within the system of the world, then it's overtly doing the will of the devil. And those that are high up in the world and the world system have sold themselves completely over to that, and the greater the level of their depravity, the higher they go in the system of the world. The better a servant that somebody is in the system of the world to do what the thief does in John 10, which is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, the further that they progress in the world and the world system. So now when you start thinking about the SARC conference and who's coming here, now what do these delegates start to look like to you? Because what did Lucifer say to Jesus in Luke chapter 4? He says, look, I give these kingdoms to whoever I want to. And all you have to do if you want a slot in the kingdoms of this world is, all you have to do is bow your knee and worship me. All you have to do is give your allegiance to me. So when we start to see, we have to, so often I've seen that the people of God are unaware of the world and the system of the world that they're in. Now God has put us here for a reason, but we need to be aware of what we're in while we're here. Because if you're unaware, your life will go very fast, and then you'll get to the end of it, you'll be like, what was that all about? Two kingdoms in operation. There is no Sri Lanka, there is no America, there is no Pakistan, there is no European Union. There is just the kingdom of God and that of the enemy. And within these two kingdoms, what you have is you have the wheat and the tares growing within both of them. Let's see here. Let's go. Matthew chapter 13. We'll come back to this in a bit. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. Least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Okay, so Jesus said, let them both grow together. Let these kingdoms be in operation in the world together. God allowed for a season and a window of time for these to operate and exist, coexist in this world together. Psalm 24, just to put this all in perspective, Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So even though we have two kingdoms in operation, imagine this board as the world. God still owns the whole thing. It's his devil. God made Lucifer. God fashioned him and made him and created him and allowed him to exist and be in the world right now. It's his devil. God made, if I'll show you something that might blow your mind here. Go to Isaiah 45. I'm deviating a little bit. But Isaiah 45 and verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is Isaiah 45, verse 7. God said that He created evil. So, you know, sometimes people think that God is like, has this straitjacket on, and the reality that we're living in is this tug of war back and forth. No. God has made this entire world, it's a masterpiece. And there's a drama that's unfolding here, and if the people of God would wake up and realize what's happening here, they would see their role in this amazing production that's taking place right now. First of all, whatever pain you're facing right now in your life and in this world, realize that as soon as this life is over, it'll have seemed like a dream. That God wipes away every tear, that for those that are His, what you go through now is nothing compared to what He has for you. Jesus said, it's for the joy set before Him. Jesus endured the cross, scorning the shame. He looked ahead of this life and what it was that He had to face. Likewise, if you could look past this, you would then also understand why God has you here right now. Okay. So God owns the whole thing. The whole thing is in operation, and He allows for it to exist like this for a season and for a time. John 17 and verse 14 says, I have Jesus praying. Now this is Jesus praying. This is the Lord's Prayer. You know, so many times we talk about the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually John 17. Because that was Him praying. Okay. He said, verse 14 says, I have given them Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that Thou should keep them from the evil. So Jesus' prayer for His disciples, and His prayer for those who would be afar off, which includes us, is that God would not take us out of the world, but that He would protect us and keep us from evil. See, many times what happens is people, I see, they want to get out of a bad situation. Time and again, when life happens, when the events of this world happen to them, they want out, rather than to go through. There's a difference. Many times, when somebody faces a situation in life, the natural human nature is to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. That's just the inbuilt base nature of every human being. And outside of the Spirit of God that's at work within you, that's just what you would default to all the time. What God rewires a person to do is to go through. Acts 16 is a great example of that. You can read that later on when you have some time. Acts 16, where they're doing the will of the Father, they're going to where He told them to go, and right in the middle of them doing what God said for them to do, because they knew that He had sent them to Macedonia, they saw the Macedonian man, and all of that, now all of a sudden they find themselves being beat up and thrown into the jail, feet in the stocks, locked in jail in the middle of the night in prison. And at that time, when they're in a bad situation, they're going through the situation with Christ, rather than asking God to pull them out. See, we as a people of God need to learn one of the secrets of the kingdom of God, which is to him who overcomes. Every child of God is instructed to be one who overcomes. The message we've talked about, the seven church ages here, the message to every church and to every church age in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 was to him who overcomes. Always the instruction is to overcome. Likewise, even Jesus in John 16, towards the end of that, He said, look, I have overcome the what? John 16, I have overcome verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So back to our kingdoms. You have the kingdom of God, and you have the kingdom of this world. So Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have trumped the world. I have beaten the world. I have overcome it. So, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Jesus' prayer to the kingdom of for His people was, He said, I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. So His prayer for us was not that we would be pulled out of any adversity, spared from any kind of suffering. No, the Scriptures even talk about the fellowship of the sufferings that we go through, how that builds our relationship and our connection with Christ Jesus. Paul spoke about the fellowship of His sufferings. When he went through, he also learned more and more of who this God was that he was serving, how, his relationship and his connection with Him. It built in a depth of character and a depth of his also understanding what God had done for him when he went through something. So rather than looking for the way the world looks for instant gratification, instant result, instant out, we go through. And we, as we go through with Christ. So He's the shepherd, John 10, He's the shepherd leading us, and we follow the leading of the voice of the Spirit of God through this world. Okay. Two kingdoms. Back to these again. Relationship versus religion. The kingdom of God is one based on relationship. The kingdom of this world is one based on religion. Okay. John 17, verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. So this is eternal life. It's not, eternal life is not a prayer that you prayed. Eternal life is not religious observance. Eternal life is not somebody telling you you're okay. Eternal life is a relationship that you have with the Father. One, a relationship that, in John 17, when he was praying, in verse 21, he said, that they may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. So the relationship that he's praying and asking for, the relationship is one where you are fused with the Spirit of God to the point where there is no separation between you and Him. Where if somebody sees you, they see a reflection of Him. That's what it is to be an ambassador of Christ. Versus religion. The kingdom of this world operates and functions as a religion and a religious system. And if you can understand this, you can superimpose this on so much that you will see on a day-to-day basis around you. And it can call itself whatever religious label it wants to, including Christian, and you will see that it is false. For example, denominations. The nature of a denomination is division. The very nature that you have when you call yourself a denomination is to say you're divided from somebody else based on what? The early church, do you notice in Scripture when it speaks about the church, the early church, it was the church at Jerusalem, the church at Antioch, the church in Rome, the church was a body of believers in a specific locality. That was all it was. It was wheat growing among the tares. It was people in the kingdom of God in this world at a specific location. That's who they were. Versus religion, which has segmented, cut it up, put it so many different ways in order to capture the majority and keep people here. Religion. And you know, man looks for that. Man looks for a system that he can control, a system that he can manipulate, a person that he can put his trust in so that he doesn't have to take responsibility for his connection of his own soul with an eternal God that will call his life to account. You notice how often people are looking for a person to believe in this world. And they put their trust in those who are in this world and given over to it rather than trusting in the Father. And time and again, people in this world have been played out, used, abused, killed by those that should have been, they thought were taking care of them. Okay. Where does sin fall into all of this? Which side? Two kingdoms? Up? Both kingdoms. Ah, very good. Okay. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So now, you know, here's where, again, religion uses something to keep you locked into the system of this world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So welcome, you're in good company. All have sinned. Everyone has messed up. Everyone has fallen short of the standard that God has set and expected. But the issue is not sin. Sin is not the issue because everyone has. Everyone messed up. The issue is not sin, but system. Because all that sin does is it's like the shackle inside of a prison cell. It's what binds you to that system. It's what locks you into the world. So sin is the shackle on your foot that locks you in and keeps you bound to the world and the world system. But sin is not the issue. Sin was dealt with in Christ Jesus. What is it that Jesus was asked for by Lucifer? In Luke chapter 4. I give you all of this. I give you all the systems of the world if you will bow down and worship me. If you will give your allegiance and your heart to me. If you put it here, I'll give it to you. What is it that Jesus said? What's the greatest commandment? Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So what Lucifer asks for in the world and the world system is your heart, your affection, your loyalty, your worship. He wants you here. God says, in the kingdom of God, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. You will put your heart and your affections on things above. You will put your... He will be the Lord and He will be the King. So, He is King on this side. Lucifer is King over on this side in his own world and world system. Also, default to that as well is self. On the low levels itself, and as you get higher up in the system, it's overtly him. Two kingdoms in operation. So that's why too, see what happens is, as well, the religions of this world and this world system will keep you, try to hook you here. So because of the fact that all have sinned, what they do is they say, okay, guilt, shame, you messed up, you did this, you did that. Now, therefore, you must pay your penance. You must do your... Think through how many religions have their whole list of things. Now, in the Pentecostal world, it's you must come to Bible study on Wednesday night, you must come to Friday night miracle service, and you must be at both services on Sunday. Be sure that you're there by 8 o'clock and that you're also a deacon. I mean, you have to pay your penance in different ways. And if you miss a meeting, you get that, you what happens? You always get that, brother, I didn't see you at the meeting, brother. You know, so yeah, you pay your penance in one way or the other. In the religious systems of the world. If you're following the will of God, you might not see me for 2 weeks. You might not see me for 3 months. Because God may send you somewhere. He may send me somewhere else. The Spirit of the Lord moved the people of God all over this world. Back before, and He's doing it the same today. See, when you walk and live in relationship and connection with the Spirit of God, Jesus said those people are like the wind. John chapter 3. That those that are led by the Spirit are like the wind. You don't know where they're going. You don't know what they're up to if you look at them from the natural mind. You can't see because they are being led by the Spirit of God. They have been liberated from this world and this world system. Though they exist in the world, they're not of the world. And so the time that they spend here, you won't be able to make it fit your system. So those that are led by the Spirit of God are the true sons of God and the true daughters of God. Versus the world and the world system, which says you must now fit the system. And if you fail, then there's enough things that are put on you to keep you in your mind bound. Also, differences between these two systems. In the world, you have systems that are based on man. Versus in the kingdom of God, it's direct connection with the Father. We have one high priest. We have one high priest. And you are all priests and you are all little priests. Priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. You are a priesthood of all believers. There is no one that lords over you. Versus in the world and the world system, you can go in the world and the world system to a place that will validate you, that will give you a certificate that now says that you have a better connection with God than somebody that doesn't have the certificate, and therefore now that you have the certificate, now you can tell somebody else that doesn't have the certificate what they need to know about God. If you see how insane that is, you see also how worthless those years were that they were spent there. no man can lord over anyone else. In the kingdom of God, you are given responsibility, yes. But those in the kingdom of God that have the Spirit of God in them too, they have hearts of service. The true servants of God that I know are true servants. That's just it. They are servants. And they take on the responsibility that God has given them because out of their love and their connection with Him purely. And many of them do it at a loss to themselves. Personally, in this world, they take on a lot of attack for what they do as a result of obedience unto God. But they gladly, willingly take that because they do it as service unto the body of Christ. Okay, back to these two. Kingdom of this world. Versus the kingdom of God. Oh, sorry. Here. In the kingdom of this world, it's conformity. Versus the kingdom of God, which is an individual. See, God, when He made you, just look at your hands. Your fingerprints, if somebody breaks into your house and the police actually come and do their job, they will take fingerprints of your place. Why? Why will they take fingerprints? Because each person's fingerprint is unique and individual. Because God has made us like that. So nobody else in this world has the same fingerprint as you do. No one else in this world has the same... There's nobody in this world like you. In the history of humanity, there's never been somebody else that's been you. You're the only you that's there. But the way that it works in the world is the world seeks to conform. And so, that's sold to you in many different ways. To be something in this world is to conform to the world so that you fit the structures and the norms thereof. And as you work your way up within the structure of this world, you become a bigger and bigger slave to that system. And they offer you the image of something that's free, but in the end it's bondage. Versus the kingdom of God, where you are allowed by the Spirit of God, you become free in the Spirit of God, and then He shows you this is the purpose for which I've designed you. Now you live in a natural body. God gave you your body to give you a natural example that you will walk around with for your entire life of the operation of also His kingdom. In your body, you have different organs. You have a liver, you have pancreas, you have lungs, you have a heart, you have eyes, you have ears, you have kneecaps. Each thing in your body has a different function. And if it does the function that it was made for, the body works together in a beautiful way. If I want to go this direction and my kneecaps say they want to go that way, I'll have a problem. But now, the reason that I don't have an issue is because every part of my body responds to the message that it gets from the head. So likewise, the true body of Christ is in direct connection to the head. We have the mind of Christ. So we receive our direction and our instruction from the Spirit of God. And we do the function that He gives us to while we're here and we're in the earth. So for one of you it may be this, for someone else it may be that. And they're both right, because they're both led by the Spirit of God. If you can see in the realm of spirit where they're coming from. So one person may be given by God the assignment to be a professional athlete. Someone else may be given the instruction to be a businessman. Someone else may be given the instruction to actually be a pastor. There are some that get that call. It's beautiful when you actually see somebody that God called and destined to be that. And it's a horrible thing when you see somebody that God never told to be a pastor and they chose to take that upon themselves. It's a dangerous thing. And they do it as unto damage of a lot of people, including themselves. So you have two kingdoms in operation. Now, with the pull between these also is, where do we fall between these? We are allowed to make free will decisions while we're here. And see, part of the reason why God allowed, you know, this whole thing to exist, because we saw that God created the enemy. He created Lucifer. God created evil. He created and allowed for this whole thing to exist in this world that we live in right now. God did this in part because it's also a process that we are going through and living through, being the bride of Christ coming unto Him. And so, you would receive a connection with Him, receive a relationship with Him, and then walk through this life and this world with everything in this world designed and working towards pulling you away from that connection and that relationship with Him. And that testing your heart and your affections and seeing if they be true. Do you see how that would work? So with all that you go through in this life and this world, seeing in the end, for yourself even, where does your heart and your affections lie? So God allows for His people to experience life. You're allowed to experience life in this world. And with the process of experiencing life in this world, you're also allowed to experience relationship with Him as you walk life out with Him. See, one thing I've noticed is many people evaluate their life in this world based on the circumstances they're in at the moment in time. So if things are going your way, people assume that God must be blessing me. That's again the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is circumstantial. If things are going well, then God must be blessing you if things are going well. How many of God's people have faced difficult times, trials, tribulations, persecutions? How many people that spoke the truth, did the world ever accept them? See, many times, you know, when people pray for the leadership of this world, okay, why would Lucifer ever give a servant of God position in his system? If Luke chapter 4 is indeed true, which Jesus didn't refute his claim, why would Lucifer ever give a person that serves the living God position in his system? Very, very rarely you will see God actually placing somebody there against all forms of opposition because He had some purpose or some reason, but that's an abnormality. So Joseph is an abnormality. Daniel is an abnormality. These are not par for the course. These are very, very rare things. And even when they get there, look at what they went through to be there. Daniel, they tried to kill him how many times did they try to get rid of him? We don't know how much persecution he went through on a day-to-day basis, but at one point they said, look, let's just get him thrown into the lion, do something with this guy. So, but within the world works on circumstance. Versus the kingdom of God, it's not determined by your circumstance, but it's determined by your connection with Him. Okay, Luke chapter 11, or sorry, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shalt thou say, Lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So this kingdom of light, power of God, where you're in the minority, you're walking out the will of God, it's in relationship with Him, and you speak to God direct, and you as an individual, all of this is within. And the kingdom of this world is all external. So the kingdom of God is within. The peace that Jesus offers you is within. Where you can be in this world and with everything else going around you, and you can yet walk through this life with peace that He gives and offers and extends to His church and those that know Him. So when Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, I give not as the world gives, but I give my peace unto you." So He said this before He went to the cross. And He's talking about peace. He spoke of the internal serenity that you can have in your heart and your spirit, regardless of the external situations that you'll face in this world and in this life. So Jesus offers peace. He offers within resolution. And it happens when you bow your knee to the King of Kings, and you do not bow your knee to this world and the world system that offers you provision in exchange for your soul, offers you connection in exchange within the system in exchange for your allegiance and your affections. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, all thy spirit, all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength. Every aspect of who you are, you will put it into that kingdom. And in that process, you will find what it is that is truly what everyone in this world wishes they have, but they look for it in the wrong place. But time goes so fast, so anyway, so we will stop there for this evening, and I'll hand it back to Brother Sri.